Okay, so Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up at verse 20. So Proverbs 20, verse 20, and we'll go down to verse 24. So if you're able to, I'd ask that you stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll read Proverbs 20, verse 20 to 24. I'll begin if you would follow along. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we think about this passage of whoso curseth his father and mother. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do proper honor to our parents, that we would listen to them. Lord, we would honor them, and while we're still under their watch care, we would obey them. And when we're out of their watch care, no longer under their house, we would listen to their counsel. Lord, we think of the matter of the inheritance as well. Lord, help us to wait patiently and not to ever push or try to manipulate circumstances. We ask this all. We pray that you be with any that are still traveling. Think of the Morgans on the way here. We ask that you give them safety if they're still driving, and for any others that are coming. We ask for safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. Saw some pictures of some of the roads. The Highway 97 didn't look so great today, so do be in prayer for those who are still traveling. So we pick it up in verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And when we think about the matter of cursing his father or mother, we know that the Old Testament, they were given... Moses was told by the Lord that if someone curses his mother or father, that they would be put to death. That's a pretty strict punishment. But when you think about the matter of cursing father or mother, that goes beyond just a verbal curse. That also goes to actually the actions that people take towards their parents. You know, Proverbs, go through some verses. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And of course, Proverbs 31, we've got the opposite. We've got the virtuous woman whose children stand up and bless her. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. A little bit of a gruesome picture there that's presented to us, isn't it? We have in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we're told to honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 12. So, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments here, the first half of the Ten Commandments are those that relate to our relationship with God. The second half relate to our relationship with mankind. So, in verse 12, we read, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We see a bit of a pattern there, don't we? There's the command and then the reason. So do it because your days will be longer. I mean, never mind the fact that it is right. But we also see the converse, the opposite, that if we don't honor our parents, we don't honor, and in fact go beyond that to actually cursing our mother and father, that we will have punishment upon us. We read about the eagles plucking out the eyes, and in our own text, it talks about the lamp going out. And that speaks of judgment. You know, I mentioned in the Mosaic Law how it says that the rebellious son would be put to death. And he that curseth his mother, in Exodus 20, verse 17, he that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Speaking about the second half of that verse there, about the light being put out, Proverbs 13:9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. So there's consequences to that. Now, we wonder, we say to ourselves, okay, well, what's the relationship supposed to be within the home, within between parents and their children? How does relationship change once they leave their home? In some cases, in some families, and particularly in some of these different countries where it's a very patriarchal family, where the father is the head of not only his own family, but right on down to the grandchildren, right? What we see in Scripture is that a man is to leave his parents and cleave, if he is to be married, that is, cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And we see that once a person has, they have gone out from under the protective custody of their parents, and hopefully when they did that move, it was done in a proper way. It wasn't done in a rebellious way, but it was when the parents were in agreement and they said, "Yeah, it's time for you to make your own way." And once that time happens, then the parents are there as guides. The parents are there to give counsel, give advice, but they cannot have the expectation that their child is going to do everything that they say. They're no longer under that roof any longer. They now have to deal directly with the Lord. But that being said, we are still to honor our parents. I mean, till the day they die, and I believe even beyond, where we honor their memory. We honor the things they stood for, and we keep that going. If we've got godly parents, and we know them well enough, even after they pass, we know exactly what they would say. You know, as we get older, we can go, I know exactly what mom or dad would say in this situation. So we can still honor them. We think of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1, which says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, there's those three words there, in the Lord. I think that there's a couple of thoughts there. One is that by obeying our parents when we're in the home, we are obeying the Lord. Because God has placed our parents as, when we're in the home, He has placed us there as our authority. And parents need to take that authority seriously. And they need to actually say, okay, you know what? I am going to do everything in my power to raise my children right. Just as we looked recently at how Abraham commanded his family, and God knew that he would command his family in righteousness. And so parents have that responsibility to say, this is what you will do when you're in my home. You will do this, you will do this, you will do this. Make it a very structured home. And, you know, some people all the time will say, oh, yeah, your children will rebel. Well, I can tell you, I'm a product of that, okay? I didn't rebel. My sister is a product of that. She didn't rebel. And there's thousands of godly people that have gone through that system that have not rebelled. And so that's a false argument that the world will try to give us. You know, they basically, their idea is, well, if you say no to your child, that child's going to want to do it even more. Well, maybe if that's all you've done is said no. But if hopefully you've been working at culturing their heart, where you have captured their heart, where they trust you, and where you can say, you know, Johnny, you can't do that, and I'll show you why from the Bible. Because that is based on hatred. That's based on lust. That's based on lying. And let's just see what God says about liars and how he feels about lying. I mean, mentioned twice in the list of abominations. Slightly different each time, but still the idea of falsehood, you know, from Proverbs chapter 6. So it's not just a matter of saying no to Johnny. It's a matter of having earned their trust and respect, their love, and then telling them why. And so when we go about it that way, hopefully it should not be a matter of them saying, well, if mom and dad don't want me to do this, I want to do it. Because if that's the case, then that child has a rebellious heart. And we've lost part of the battle already. So don't listen to that argument that the world will tell you. That if you make their life structured, if you make all these rules, that they're going to want to break out of them. If you do it properly, it's not the case. If you just make rules and don't say why, and then boil up in anger if they do it, that's not going to achieve the purpose. That's not going to cause them to love you, to respect you. Now, of course, we do have the good news that, like, sometimes people will curse their mothers and their fathers, either by their deeds or their words or their actions. And yet, there's still mercy, right? We think of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son that we see in Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into the fields to feed swine. Pause there for a second. So, just so we're all on the same page, we understand that in those times, for a person to want their inheritance before their father had died was akin to wishing that person was already dead. Disregarding their parent to that extent. And in our text in Proverbs chapter 20, we're going to see it speaks of those that are pushing to get their inheritance. And so this son, he wants his inheritance before his father has even gone. And so, though it doesn't speak anything about him actually verbally cursing his father, by his actions, he has cursed his father. And then we see the consequences. He goes and blows all that money. Next thing you know, he's run out of money and friends. Because this world is all about money. And if you're rich and wealthy, oh, you'll have lots of friends. They're not real friends, are they? They just want your money. But you run out of it, your friends start to leave you. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. And furthermore, here he is, he's feeding swine, which, you know, to the Jews was an unclean beast. And here he is, he's even thinking about eating their food. And then it says, in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And we won't read on the rest of the story. You know the story. His older brother comes in and gets a little upset because his younger brother's gone and blown the inheritance, and now his father's making a feast for him. He didn't understand mercy. He didn't understand forgiveness. So even while there are times when people will rebel, the good news is that there is forgiveness. I think of a pastor friend of our family that he had a son that ended up rebelling. And I think it was probably after he had already left the home. He ended up rebelling and going into the world and into sin. Sometime later, I don't know how long it was, but sometime later, he, much like the prodigal son, came to the end of himself. God chastened him, and he got right with his mother and father. So while we see that the person that curses their mother and father, if they continue on that path, they will be judged very horrendously in some cases. But the person that turns and seeks forgiveness will be granted forgiveness. Notice the prodigal son here in verse 21. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, when a person does this, when they curse their mother and their father, when they rebel against their mother and their father, there has to be repentance. It can't be, well, let's try to make up. No, there has to be a recognition and a statement of, I was wrong. I sinned. You notice here, isn't it interesting how he says, I sinned against heaven and in thy sight. You might say, well, no, he sinned against his father. No, remember, sin is the transgression of God's law, isn't it? The true sense of the definition of the word. It's the transgression of God's law. So while the damage might have been to his father, he was against God that he sinned. And you see the emphasis. Because remember, God is a holy God. He's a just God. And we need to always remember that we've broken his law first. Before we've done anything else, before we've hurt anybody else, we've broken his law. So you notice the priority. Number one, I've sinned against heaven. Or you could say against God. That's what he's meaning there. And in thy sight. In thy sight, I've hurt you. He says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. What a statement, isn't it? And he sought his forgiveness and was granted that forgiveness. So whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. It's not a good road to go. And there are times when a person might say, well, but, you know, my father or my mother, they're not godly people. That doesn't matter. We still have to honor them. You remember that verse we read in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, there will be times when we might have an ungodly parent that asks us to do something ungodly. And that's where a child does need to stand and say, no, I can't do that. And this is the reason why. There are parents in other countries that will sell their children into all sorts of moral sins for their family. And that's where a good Christian child would say, I love you, I honor you, but this is something I cannot do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It has to be something that is, we obey them as long as they're counseling us in the way of the Lord. You know, a parent might ask a child to steal for them. You know, I've been talking with Brother Olin, and he's in theft recovery now as his tent making job, and so he's got all kinds of stories about people and the way they steal, and how they try to get out of the store with goods on them, on their person. And sometimes, he didn't tell me any stories about this, but I've heard other stories where parents will sometimes have their children stealing stuff for them, or on the lookout, you know, watching for the storekeeper. So those are things that a godly child would say, no, I can't do this. But aside from anything where they ask that child to do something wrong, they need to obey them as unto the Lord. Okay, the next verse. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Well, we kind of saw that already in Luke 15, didn't we? That younger son, he wanted his portion. He was, as the younger son, he would have gotten a less of a portion. I believe it would have been half the portion of the older son. He wanted his portion before his father died. He pushed for it. And you've got to imagine that it wasn't something that he just one day said, can I have my inheritance? And his father said, sure. I would imagine he pushed on it for a while. I would imagine his father said, look, son, that's for when I pass on. His father probably didn't want to give it to him. His father probably knew what he would do with that money. We should never be pushing for money, for wealth, for material things. I quite often bug my dad out of fun. Sometimes he'll get a new tool, and I'll say to him, take good care of it, please, would you? And put it in, or even his car. His car's got some rattles now. I'm not sure about that. But it's just a running joke. But we should never push for things. Remember that our help comes from the Lord. We don't look to man. We don't look horizontally. We look vertically for our help. We don't look for others. Okay, what can that person do to help me in my need? What can that person do? No. We just look to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a need. How are you going to fill this need? I am your servant. You've promised to protect me, to provide for me. I'm doing everything I can to provide. But this need is outside of my provision. How are you going to help me? That's the way it's got to be. Because the end thereof shall not be blessed. Okay, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Probably seen that t-shirt. I don't know, I haven't seen it for a while, but I mean, years ago there used to be that t-shirt people would have, I don't get angry, I just get even, or something to that effect. Well, you know what? It's not our job to get even with people. If people hurt us, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to turn the other cheek, the Bible says. It's not a matter of throwing up the dukes. Well, you know what? I've got a bigger punch than you do, and no, this is where we allow the Lord to we allow the Lord to protect us. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 29 says, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to man according to his work. Proverbs 24:29. We don't go tit for tat. We don't throw darts at each other. I mean, the whole point of being a Christian, as it relates to our relationship with each other, is one, to witness to each other, but then to love each other. And how can we prefer one another while throwing darts at each other? Right? That is so contrary to Scripture. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35 says, "To me," that's the Lord speaking, "belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." You know, you think about David in the Psalms. How many times is he saying, "Lord, the wicked are flourishing. They seem to be doing well. They seem to be prospering." And then towards the end of the psalm, he says, "Lord, I know you will exercise judgment upon them." The Lord has spoken to him. The Lord has encouraged him. So remember, to God belongeth vengeance. We don't have to take it into our own hands. Doesn't that remove a huge burden off of us when dealing with conflicts? To know that we can just totally ignore it. When people come up against us, we can just let it go, roll off our back like water off a duck's back. And he says, "Their foot shall slide in due time." Of course, the time, our time frame is not always the same as the Lord's, is it? You see, one thing about the Lord is that, and it kind of seems like a strange concept to us sometimes, the Lord allows people to generate more sin. He allows them to wallow in their sin more and more and more, and then he judges them. We see that with in Scripture several times, talking about the Amorites and how God was allowing them to rack up more sins so that he could pour down a greater judgment on them. And so it's not up to us to decide, "Well, Lord, it really is time for them to be judged." No, leave it with the Lord. It takes all the stress out of it. Let's take a look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I remember years ago working on the ambulance and had this person that was beat up and they didn't know what happened. And we knew that they'd been assaulted. They knew they'd been assaulted, but they didn't want to tell us anything. And we said, "Who assaulted you?" "I don't know. But when I get out of hospital, I'm going to sure pay them back." They knew exactly who did it. And they were just biding their time. Well, it's different. It's a different operating procedure for the believer. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" So give place to the wrath. Don't put it aside. So recompense to no man evil for evil. We think about Jesus Christ. Jesus was spat upon. He was falsely accused. And the scripture tells us that he was silent, like a sheep before the shearer. He didn't spit back. He didn't yell back at his accusers. He didn't say, "You're lying. I never said that. I never did that." You're taking that out of context. You know, when they said that he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, and he was referring to his body. He didn't yell and argue with them. He did not recompense evil for evil. Similar verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Similar verse, 1 Peter 3:9, "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." You think of that time when I believe it was the Syrians that surrounded that city that Elisha and his servant were at. because the Syrian king said, how is it that every time I make a move against the king of Israel, I'm always thwarted? He goes, I've got a spy in my midst. And his counselor said, no, it's that prophet Elisha. He says, what you say in your bedchamber, he hears. And so the king sends that army, surrounds that city, and his servant says, what are we going to do? And then Elisha prays to God and says, open his eyes. And God opens his eyes and he sees the host, the Lord's host that was surrounding those men. So just to underscore the fact that there's nothing to fear. And then he smites them with blindness. And Elisha then leads them away from that city. And he leads them to the king. And the king says to Elisha, what should we do? Should we kill them? And he says, no, give them food and water and send them on their way. And that's what they did. So instead of taking advantage of that situation and fighting against his enemy, instead, they fed and watered them and sent them on their way. And the scripture talks about heaping coals of fire upon their heads. And that's done when we love people that hurt us. Love, and half the time, they're probably going to go, boy, this guy is really dense. He doesn't realize that I just slammed him. You know, and you know, you've gone back and you've been kind to them. You've totally ignored that comment. You're not dense. You caught the meaning of it. You know, like the one time when we were out door knocking and the JWs said, who are you guys? You guys like contractors or whatever? Because they're trying to say that we were underdressed. Whereas in truth, we were just trying to stand apart from them, trying to be different, dress differently than they do when we're on visitation. And so it was a direct slam. But we just ignored it. So we're not to recompense evil for evil. The Lord says David said in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our job is just to wait. Let God do his job. He's our protector. He will take care of us. You know, similar verse, wait on the Lord in Psalms 37:34, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Our theme verse for this year, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we just wait on the Lord. We don't take things into our own hands. We don't try to fight against the enemy when they come up against us. I mean, obviously we are to lift up the shield and to shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, no doubt. But what I'm getting at is that we're not to fight tit for tat against the enemy. So just reading that verse there again. Proverbs 20:22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. And of course, a closing thought is to remember that God promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13. We've got to believe that promise. And so when we come up with trials and tribulations, we've got to say, you know what, Lord, this is where I need you to go to battle for me. I'm not taking this on because I don't believe you want me to take it on. So, Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands. We take that, put it right before him, and it takes the burden off of us. It helps us not become bitter. Because that's what happens when we try to fight our own battles. We develop bitterness. You know, it's kind of just thinking spiritually. I don't know if any of you've ever had an ulcer before. Or maybe you've struggled with GERD, gastric esophageal reflux disease. You know, where that valve down there isn't working, the pyloric valve isn't working properly, and you're getting acid coming back up the esophagus, and it kind of burns. Well, thinking about how, for the believer, I think that kind of reminds me of bitterness, that burning sensation in the stomach. But rather, it's in the spirit, in the soul. There's that burning that happens when we try to fight against our enemies. But instead, just carry that burden to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm leaving this here with you. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray that you would help us to have a proper understanding of honoring our mother and our father. And for those that are still under the roof of their parents, Lord, that they would obey their parents, they would love their parents, they'd respect their parents, that they wouldn't just be waiting for the day that they can leave and experience the world the way they want to, but that they would seek counsel from their parents as far as the timing of when they move out into the world, to chart their own passage with your help. And Lord, that they would take counsel as a young adult from their parents. Lord, help us to wait on you when we're going through trials and tribulations, when we're being oppressed by others. Lord, we pray that we would not fight against others who are fighting us, but we would just leave that with you. Lord, we ask that you'd be with any that are still traveling. We ask for protection on the roads, protection against the elements and the other drivers and ice. And we pray we have a good day in your house today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.